time, anyone who's thinking about renovating or building is going to think about this particular question. Should they or should they not live in their renovation? Now, for some of us, we can have the choice, and for others of us, we don't have the budget to be able to move out while we're in the middle of a renovation, so we're going to have to live through it. Now, Rebecca has just been through, well, still is in this process, and I've done it twice where I've lived in it, so we thought between the two of us, we could definitely come up with a list of our top tips for how to live in your renovation. So join us in the podcast. We're going to be chatting through that, and we've got some tips to share with you.
Hi, I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Krabeshni.
And welcome to Building with Builders,
our podcast where we believe that building is fun.
Super fun.
So much fun.
Build Her Collective was created to help women with building and renovating. And we believe that with the right tools, everyone can build. For us, it's all about encouraging women to take back control of the building process and really achieve their dreams.
We are women in the building industry, and as developers, builders, and project managers, it's our passion to share everything we know with other women doing the same. And that's why we've created this podcast for you.
So if you love all things building,
you're into design,
keen on the numbers,
about to renovate,
thinking and dreaming of that forever home and what it would look like,
or even developing for profit,
then you've found your family.
Subscribe to our podcast and follow our journey over at buildhercollective.com.au.
All right, so do you know what? The first tip I would have for living in a reno, and I have done this quite a lot with various amounts of family members and children by myself. I'm quite skilled at this. I'm quite skilled at moving house, actually. I was speaking to someone about that today. She's like, you could set up a business moving people's house. No. So my first thing to say would be actually declutter and minimize before you get going. So think about what season you're renovating in and pair yourself back to what you actually need. Everything is going to get dusty and dirty and need cleaning. It is like camping. You will smell of smoke. No, you won't smell of smoke. But you will have dust everywhere. And so by understanding that everything is going to get, don't create little piles of stuff that you'll deal with later. Deal with it ahead of time. And so when you get going, I do it like this. I do a wire basket. So I kind of picture myself camping. Yeah, so I do a wire, one of the IKEA wire baskets, and I have everything the kids could possibly need. They get one each. I get one. I shelve everything that isn't for that season, right? So everything goes away. I bring their toys back to what I would need if I was going on a car trip. And I really pair myself back to the absolutely essential items, which means that I've had a lot of things in boxes over the years and I've learned to cook with like three saucepans. But what I've found is by pulling myself back, it declutters my brain and it makes things so much easier to use. Really, I only wear the same outfits anyway. It's jeans and a t-shirt and a jumper. So it's just that for that period of time, I am typically scaled back. Did you do the same thing when you did it?
We did a big, massive clean out. It was actually really fun. And we just got a skip and I just threw out loads of stuff because actually when we moved out of our unit into our house, we somehow magically were able to go from a two-bedroom unit with very little storage to filling a full three-bedroom house and all the storage. So we had you know, just too much crap. So I got a skip once we moved in and just got rid of a whole lot of stuff. When we were doing our renovation, I went through and I did a big clean out, but probably the thing that I was going to also add that we did wrong is I let a whole lot of scope creep come into our projects. So initially, our initial plan was to move everything into the one room, do the back end of the house, and then move everything out of the one room and move and then do the front end. Yeah, but we decided to, you know, just go in and do the kitchen at the same time. And my advice to you is if you've got big bulky furniture and you're thinking about living in the house while you're renovating, also think about actually just getting it out of the house because it is going to get dirty, it's going to get dusty, it's going to be in the way, and it's going to just become a whole lot of extra double handling. So outside of the moving off from house to house, think about all your stuff and your furniture as well.
Yeah, and I guess that's where I come back to the minimizing, like, so because we do it so often and because we're builders, we do have a factory. So I guess that's cheating. we move everything out too. But understanding, I guess, and to speak to what you're talking about, your renovation spanned the entire house, right? So every room needed to be paired back to what you absolutely needed. Now, you did have a garage that you could store things in, but materials come into play as well. So the materials then become through the house as well. So if you can possibly stage it in a way, and we've done this where we've kind of staged it and we've closed a door and we've got kind of the unrenovated section and then where the renovation is happening, that makes life easier. But you still need to pare that back, because the dust is and can actually be the bit that I find most overwhelming. It's like you clean, but nothing can actually be clean. And between your fingers and like your thumb and your forefinger, when you kind of put them together, it's kind of gritty. It feels dusty. And that is the bit that kind of kills me. So any soft furnishings, any couches, anything that's not leather and can be wiped down will get dust trapped inside it, no matter how well you seal it off, because there's gravel and dust outside the door. So as soon as you open the door, it's going to flow in. I would also recommend sealing the different, you know, the section really well. So use duct tape to seal a door if there's a door between the old and the new. But expect for that period of time, you're going to have dust and you're going to have to live with dust and cleaning fairly regularly. So that would be it. So stage according to need. So set yourself up, understand what you need for your family. And I guess, you know, in understanding what you need for your family, bring the fun into it. Like, camping is fun for some people. Some people are really good at camping and other people aren't good at camping. If you're not particularly good at camping and these things stress you out, then maybe you do need to find somewhere to live that you can live comfortably, because it is very much like camping. You're always just a little bit dirty.
You're going to prepare your kids that they don't have all their toys and they don't have all the luxuries of home, right? In the same way, you're going to prepare your family that you just don't have the same level of convenience and stuff when you're living in your renovation. So something that can be quite helpful is to start preparing them early on about what that's going to be like and what that means and why you're doing that. And particularly also family members outside of the immediate family, letting them know that you're going to be living through the renovation and what that means might mean, you know, it's not going to be suitable for people to come over for a cup of tea.
Yeah, the why I think is really important, that what you're touching on there, because why are you doing it? Realistically, we're saving money, but there's a whole heap of other whys that come into it. Actually, we've written a blog post, and there's a blog post up on our website that you can go to and get a little bit more in-depth information or kind of concise tips. But the why is super important, because you're saving money, but you're also able to be there. So you're able to monitor the project a lot better. You're able to check things as it happens, so your quality assurance is better. And also the trades know that you're there, so they're going to work that little bit harder to make things happen for you, because everyone wants to help. Right? Especially if you're not doing it consistently. Maybe if you're doing it consistently, people get over it and they stop trying to help. But
Oh, no, Rebecca's moving house again. We better make
quick. What? Huh? No, we're away that weekend. Yeah, so I guess being there has advantages, but knowing the why up front and early is really great. So if you're going to be living in a renovation for 6 months, work out what rent you're saving and know exactly what that is, because when you're feeling down about it, or at, you know, 5.5 months when you've only got 2 weeks to go and you're completely over it, you want to come back to that.
Based on the scope and the size and the time frame of your project, think about your temporary setup. So if you are going to have a longer length project, then just spending a little bit of money setting up your temporary kitchen, for example, can go a really long way into just making that a little bit easier for you. And it might feel like it's burning a bit of cash, but it will really, really help you if you just have a proper sink, even, you know, a slow cooker. Rebecca will...
The Thermomix. So I bought a Thermomix in one of our early ones, thinking that it would go to the shops, bring home the food, cook it all for us and serve it on the table. And I was severely disappointed.
You should really talk to Thermomix about that.
I should, shouldn't I? I've since learned how to use it, but
if you're doing that though, you might need to think about setting up some temporary power, depending on how extensive your renovation might be, to make sure you have power points and you're not running cables all over the shop, that you have some access to power and microwaves and also somewhere to keep your cutlery and your plates clean. So we just had like a plastic tub. So once something was washed and clean, it went into the plastic tub, and that was the only way I could guarantee it was going to stay clean.
It can feel kind of grueling. Like, so when one of our setups, we had a trestle table in the kitchen with a microwave and a Thermomix and a kettle and toaster, right? So that was it. That's how we lived for 6 months. We had 2 bedrooms. There were 5 of us living there, and our bathroom, our temporary bathroom, was on the in the front garden. So we had to, and our fridge lived on the front porch. I did get an offer, hilariously, in my letterbox. And one of my neighbors put a note in there and said, if you still want to sell your fridge, we'd like to buy it from you. I'm like, no, that's just our fridge. It lives on our front porch. Does your fridge not live on your front porch? But I think the temporary bathroom and working that through is really helpful. And then what we did is we staged that process so we had the ensuite built first. So that ensuite became the bathroom that meant that we could get rid of the temporary bathroom and then we could wash the dishes and work out of that space. And look, it was a little bit rustic, but money was tight. This is one of our very early renovations. And my values are that I'm happy to put myself out a little bit and really kind of value the dollar there. As soon as we were able to, probably before we could move into the extension, now granted we're building it ourselves, we set up a temporary kitchen in the extension, right? So before the plaster was on, before all of that, we did set up and we pulled out a kitchen out of someone else's house and we just put the cupboard there with the sink there and plumbed it up where, you know, in a way that was going to be out of the way, and that's how we lived. And that's fine, but you do need to have a sense of humour.
Sense of humour is huge and a really great coach. So thinking about when you're going to be doing a renovation, whether you're spanning over the summer months or even the winter months, if you don't have the ability to be able to section off the renovation part to the living part, then just know the doors are going to be open all the time and you've got trades coming in and out and there's going to be openings for windows and there might even be openings in the floor and it's going to be cold, particularly if you're doing it over winter. So keeping a stash of some warm things side is really important, but also maybe if you have the ability to do this, to plan the renovation for the warmer months, if that's something that you can do. But a lot of the time we don't have the luxury of being able to do that.
Having shoes off is actually a massive one. Like if you can live in a situation where you can have shoes off, you can save a lot of the dirt and understanding the months of the year, because no matter what you do, you will end up with mud and dirt everywhere. So in winter that becomes mud and it becomes a mud pit outside. That mud then gets tracked inside the house. In summer it's dust. So you have different things to mitigate. So by having kind of some structures and some rules and having the family understand why you have those rules in place and trying to get them to comply can be super, super helpful.
Another good one to think about is bins. Bins and rubbish storage. Oh, that's a tongue twister. So really thinking about where the rubbish is going, so where the building rubbish debris is going and where your just general rubbish is going. Depending on how many trades you're having coming in and out of the house, there's going to be a fair amount of rubbish and packaging that comes with port lunches as well, just to know. So having your wheelie bin set up and just a general understanding of everyone on site of where the rubbish is going and having one spot for rubbish. So when it comes to get picked up, or even having a skip on site, so it's a one spot drop, rather than having a pile of rubbish that has to get put into a bin to get the bin to be picked up to go out, can be really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Builders are used to working on a building site where they just leave a trail of rubbish behind themselves. And so when that's your house and there's a bin and then they throw it next to the bin, that can actually cause a lot of angst and, you know, it can feel really disrespectful. So you do need to have a sense of humour about it, but you also need to set the expectations, you know. Like, guys, we live here. Can you just put the rubbish in the bin if you don't mind? This is the way it's going to set up. And I know that's something that's happened on all of our building sites and, you know, it seems so small and they're like, but you're picking up after people all the time and that can get tiring and a bit tedious.
I suppose perhaps in some ways when people start to see a pile of rubbish or a mound of dirt, then they just feel naturally able to add to that, because it's like the assumption is, well, someone's going to be picking all that up, so I'll just pop it on the pile. That's what's done. You know, so it's not necessarily coming from a bad place. It's just an assumption or a wrong assumption.
And it's something they're used to doing all the time, right? Asking for help.
Oh, huge one.
You know, I actually have an amazing network of friends around me that know that I can't cook. I could cook until I started living in so many renovations, and then I Ubered too much and I lost the ability. So, you know, actually they're really lovely. Some of them occasionally will drop off care packages of, I know I've got one friend who brings me fresh fruit and vegetables and it's so lovely. It's such a nice gift. I've got another friend who knows that I can't cook and manages to cook John meat because she knows that I won't do that either, and drops that off. And it's just really kind. Now, granted, I haven't asked for them for help, but if I asked them for help or if I needed them, they'd be there. And I think the ability to say, guys, it's going to be a bit tricky in this point, can you help me, is really nice.
Yeah, and I think it's a massive thing that we just don't do enough of. I think sometimes people, they think they're asking for help, but they're not, you're not actually asking for help. So people aren't hearing it. And I think that just saying, guys, I'm going to just need a little bit of help here. And it might even be with childcare. It might be, you know, I just really need the kids to be gone for this day because I've got all these things to do and I've got these decisions to make. I think asking for help is something that I urge everyone to do.
And my family's been amazing with looking after the kids, especially on moving days. On moving days, it's really hard to have kids around because generally we'll move in slightly early, you know, like if we are living out of the house, we'll move in slightly earlier than we need. So if you do have a friend who is building or renovating, drop a meal to them. It will mean so much that they don't have to Uber or that they don't have to cook on whatever temporary setup that is. Just understand that they don't have an oven, so something microwavable.
We ate so much takeout those months we were renovating. I did gain 5 kilos. That's another thing to think about. You know, when you are eating a lot of takeaways, if you can find a way to cook, you don't always feel great when you're eating them constantly. Do you know what I mean? So they can, and I think even from the time that when we were doing ours to now, our choice is far greater. We can get we can just buy so much more food online. I think when we were doing ours, I don't think Uber Eats was even around, but we were eating pretty unhealthily, I have to say, which actually led to myself feeling not great and not sleeping well, actually, as well.
Yeah, so think about the balance before you begin. How do you kind of bring that in the same way that you would when you're camping? And everything there is preparation, I would say. The final one I would kind of go into is framing and gratitude. We say this a lot, but it's a massive gift to be able to renovate a house and to be able to give that gift to your family and to show them the process. I mean, mine have learned so much through kind of living in them. And somehow when you've lived in the renovation and you move into the larger space, it's kind of so much sweeter because it's been slightly painful through the journey. But by framing it in a way where you're grateful for what you're able to do, and, you know, having some backups if you do need an out, you know, a weekend at your parents' house might not be so bad, even if you don't want to live there full time. But by being grateful for what you do have in that situation, it's fantastic. It's kind of like a glorified camping in some ways.
It is the big adventure. And at the end of it, there is a real sense of accomplishment. And it's kind of keeping that when it does get tough, and it will get tough, keep that in mind because the end is really sweet. And I think we forgot one, but it leans into this one as well, which is escape plans. Have an escape plan. If you need it, be able to get away for a weekend or even go to a friend's house for a Friday night wine and drinks and just get away from the renovation. Have some space away from it. It will give you a world of perspective.
And in normal times, you could just put yourself out on the network and say, guys, if you are planning on going away, we'll house sit. We'll look after your pets. You'd be surprised how many people are happy to have someone come and live in their house just for a week. I know I lived at your house for a couple of weeks while you went to Queensland while we were renovating. And it's a nice way to kind of break up the time in a renovation without costing a heap of money, or know that you're saving a lot of money by not renting somewhere else. If you need a couple of weekends out and to rent something on the fly, then do that.
Absolutely. Well, we added a few more into our list, so very lucky listeners today. We hope those are some helpful tips for you if you're thinking about renovating and living through the renovation, or if you're currently renovating and living through the renovation and some things might be getting to you. If you are, reach out. You can book a chat through the website if you want to have a chat or need some ideas. We definitely have a link on there. It's fun times. They really are.
Look, it is super fun. It's super exciting to be able to see it all come together in front of you on a daily basis. It can also be kind of frustrating, but understanding why and how is so much of that. And, you know, I applaud all of you that are trying to get ahead and putting yourself out there to do that. So well done. Have fun with it. Good luck, and let us know some of your top tips as well. We have a free group, which is Women Who Decorate, Renovate and Build. There'll be a link, or you can come to our website, Build Her Collective, and there'll be a link through there. And that's filled with, you know, actually thousands of people that are renovating and building at the moment. And share your tips with everyone, because if there's nothing that people like more than when they're renovating, it's to talk to other people who are renovating and sharing a story.
Thanks for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you in our free group.
Thanks for listening to Building with Build Her. We'd love for you to spread the word.
For show notes, links and downloads and other awesome resources and freebies, head to buildhercollective.com.au. And don't forget, that's Build Her with an H-E-R.
And if you enjoyed this episode, it would mean so much to both of us if you could take a minute or two to leave a review.
And don't forget to subscribe so you can listen next time as we talk all things building and women making their mark in the building industry.